Dear friends in Jesus Christ, great to see you today on this Father's Day weekend. We are taking a look at this new brochure. It's called The Most Important Legacy, and it's based on Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. You have the text there in your service folder. I think what we're looking at here is super important for all fathers, especially fathers of younger children. However, though, we can take this information, and whether we are a man or a woman, married or not, father or not, mother or not, there is information in here that is very important for our lives in Christ. I hope you see it that way. Let's understand that God created two people about 6,000 years ago. He instituted marriage when he brought the woman to the man, and then he told them to have children. Let's understand this big picture. The family is God's creation in order to teach God's truth, to fill the earth, and eventually to populate heaven. Those are wonderful things, but at the same time, though, the forces of evil are working hard to stop the teaching of God's truth and populate hell. So we have quite a spiritual battle raging in the world because we can't see it, we might not think about it, but God wants us to know it is there, it is real. This sermon focuses on some very important instructions for parents, especially for fathers. Think about it like this. When fathers rightly understand and diligently apply God's word in their own lives, they will be blessed and they will pass on eternal blessings to their children and grandchildren, maybe even their great-grandchildren. Coming to our text today is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Let me go ahead and read it at this time. It's written out there in your service folder. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, as we look closer at each one of these verses, I want you to understand this critical division with these six verses. With verses 4 through 6, these are vital instructions for parents and maybe especially for fathers. These instructions, they must be understood and seriously embraced. I think those are rare things today. But let's take the attitude, hey, I don't care what the rest of the world is doing, I'm going to understand them. I'm going to embrace them in a serious way. God wants each one of us to be that way. And then when we come to verses 7 through 9, they are a call to specific and ongoing actions for fathers, for parents, even for all of us. And the idea would be that here we are, we're a little bit older, we know the Word of God, we know Jesus Christ, and we want to impress that upon the young people. Understand these things must be done diligently in order to pass on God's eternal blessings. If we go back to prior to World War II, it was typical that the moms were staying home, and the moms spent a lot of time with their kids, and the moms were teaching the kids the Word of God. What happened with World War II? Oh, now the women enter the workforce. What happened after World War II? The women stayed in the workforce. What happened to the kids learning the Word of God? In most cases, that got pushed off to the churches. The parents said, I don't have time for that anymore. I'm going to be diligent in taking my child to church and to Sunday school, and that's going to work. That is not at all what the Bible is teaching. We'll come to a little bit more of that here in a few moments. Let's go through these verses again. Verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Here in the Hebrew, that Hebrew word is pronounced Shema. So Jewish people sometimes talk about this particular text, verses 4 through 9, they call it the Shema. Shema, again, means hear. When we think about hear, to hear means much more than hearing sounds. When God says hear, it means to listen. It means to pay attention. It means to believe. It means to live according to God's holy word. Such important things. In verse 5, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." So it sounds easy to say it, but what are we talking about here? Let's understand that God is calling each of us to love him with our entire being. So when it talks about heart, soul, strength, the idea is we are loving God with our entire being. It's not like, okay, I'm going to halfway love the world and halfway love God. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about setting aside the world, understanding that is fallen, understanding that is temporary, and then loving God with our entire being. This is a huge call to all of us. Let's break it down a little bit. When we love God with all our heart, we love him with what we think. We love him with what we desire. We love him with what we decide. We love him with what we love. Can you see how that's taking in our entire life, our entire being? What about with our soul? When we love God with all our soul, we understand that we belong entirely to him. It's not like, oh, okay, on the weekends, I'll give God some of my time, but the rest of my life is mine. No, when we truly understand this properly, we belong to him entirely. We live for him, not for ourselves. And think about the last one here. We are willing to lose everything rather than lose him. If somebody comes to us and says, "Reject Christ, or I'm going to put you to death," what are we going to do? We're going to hold on to Christ and let them put us to death. That's what we're talking about here. Don't we have those same words or similar words in our Lutheran confirmation vows? We have vowed such things. God wants us to know there are people around the world right now who are dying for the name of Christ. If that comes to our country, if someone comes to us in that way, God wants us to hold on to Christ no matter what. And then what about with our strength? When we love God with all our strength, we use our strength to serve him and to serve our neighbors. And we also use our strength in order to honor him, both with the work that we do and also the possessions that he has given to us. Can you see how it's all-inclusive? It's taking in our entire life. That's what God is calling us to. Again, we might see a group of people and say, oh, look at that group of people. Only 2 of them out of 100 seem to be taking this passage in a serious way. God wants us to join those 2. He doesn't want us to remain like the 98 other ones that aren't taking the word of God in a serious way. In verse 6, these commandments, in other words, don't think 10 commandments here. Think about the entire word of God. These words of God that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. What does that mean? When we think about God's commandments, we tend to think about outward obedience. When you think about the 10 commandments, it's telling us either to do or to not do certain things. It seems outward, doesn't it? But when it says on your hearts, our hearts are inward. So God wants us to know that the essential reality has to be inside. It's not that you or me can change what's inside, but when we are in the Bible, then the Spirit of God will work through the Word of God, and He will work that change in us. When people are not interested in coming to worship, and people are not interested in coming to Bible class, and people are not interested in reading their Bibles, something is very, very wrong. What do such people need? They need to get into the Word of God. And they need to do so in an open way. And again, the Spirit of God will work through the Word of God in order to make an awesome, eternal difference within them. That is what they need. May God help us to set that pattern for other people in how we are functioning. So God is calling us, this idea of having His commandments on our hearts. What does that mean? He's calling us to read His Word, meditate on His Word, believe His Word, love His Word, remember His Word. How do we remember it? By writing it upon our hearts, by memorizing it, and then knowing the Word of God. He's calling us then to do the Word of God. Such important things. So at this point now, we've come through the first three of the six verses. Again, let's understand that these things are vital for fathers, they are vital for parents, really, they are vital for every one of us. They are vital to save and equip fathers or even parents who can then do what follows in verses 7, 8, and 9 to make a positive and eternal difference in the lives of their children. What am I really saying there? I'm saying that if the parents aren't dead serious about the Word of God, they are not going to benefit from it, and neither are their children going to benefit from it. So what Moses was saying to the people, he was really talking to the parents, and he was saying, parents, I'm urging you, first of all, to be dead serious about the things of God. And once that Word of God gets in you, then you are going to be compelled then to impress that upon your children. So important. Fathers do many things for their children, but let's understand that nothing is more important than helping them know, love, and live God's holy word as followers of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for what my children are doing in life. I'm thankful that they have a decent education and they have good jobs and they're functioning on their own. But I would rather take all of that away and have them struggle their entire lives if it meant that having a life of struggle would end up with them being in heaven. In other words, sometimes when people are so blessed and life is going so well, what happens? Oh, they tend to forget about God. Now they're trusting in themselves. Now they're doing their own thing. Now everything seems okay. That could happen to my own children. But what I want the most for them is not a successful life on earth. I want them to die in Christ. I think every true Christian parent would say the same thing. So in the second part here then, coming to verse 7, now this is what Moses is saying to the people again, to the parents, and he's saying, now that you have the Word of God in your own heart, now impress this Word of God on your children. Talk about this Word of God when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Can you see how, like, every moment of every day, with every opportunity, the idea is to impress the Word of God upon your children? So important, such a rare thing within our entire nation, such a rare thing within the entire world, and yet, let's here at Bethlehem Parma, let's be the one congregation in the entire world that's actually following this part of the Bible and setting an example for the others. May God help us to do that. Parents are called to be the primary teachers of God's Word. Now, sometimes people make an excuse and say, well, wait a minute now. I take my kids to church. I take my kids to school. I send my kids to a Christian school. Let's understand, even with all of that, parents remain the primary teachers. They have the primary responsibility for their children. Let's understand that this is so true today. If you think about the sermon a couple weeks ago, if you really agree with what I said, then you'll understand. Many teachers today, public school teachers, private school teachers, Christian school teachers, let's understand they do not believe the Bible is true. Now, I'm not saying all of them, but there are many of them who do not believe the Bible is true. Unless parents overcome those false teachings, what are the children eventually going to conclude? They're going to conclude, oh, the Bible is not true. Understand that when we send our children off and they're taught by others, oftentimes they're being indoctrinated to believe things that are in opposition to the Word of God. So you have to deprogram your children when they get home. You have to find out what they learned, and you have to deprogram them so they're not holding on to this false information. So important. Can you see how the parents are the primary teachers of the children? And then I'm saying here, let us weave God's word and our faith into our everyday lives. How do we do that? We do that with family devotions, prayers at meals, discussing sermons, reading the Bible, and talking about God with our children. Here's verse 8. This is a little bit unusual here, but let me try to explain. Moses said to the parents, talking about the word of God, talking about the commandments, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Even though some Jews, a long time ago and today, what do? They literally attach God's word on their bodies. I don't believe that's what God intended. That's what they do today. But does God want us as Christians to carry the Bible with us, to have it attached to us in our hands? Is that what he wants? No. He wants us to know it in our hearts. He wants us to believe it is true. He wants us to speak it. He wants us to do it. He doesn't want us just to carry it around. The Jews are mixed up on this. It is better when we permit God's word to guide our thoughts, our decisions, and our actions. So very important. By doing so, fathers guide their children and set powerful examples. When we think about parents, if parents are telling their children, this is what I want you to do, but the parents are not doing it, is that going to have much effect on the kids? It won't. It's so important that the parents are the leaders. That's the only way it's going to work. I'm going through this particular book. There's a story in the book. It's back in World War II. There's a group of American soldiers, and they have to take this particular town in Germany. And as they approach the town, they're pinned down by machine gun fire. They're laying in the ditches, and their commander is doing everything he can to get these guys up and moving. If they stay there, they're all going to die. So he tried to do everything he could, and he could not get a single man to get up and move. Finally, the commander, he got up right in the gunfire, and he shouted for his men to follow him. And when he did that, all of them stepped up and followed. That's what I'm talking about with a Christian parent. If you're really serious about the things of God, knowing them and living them, then your children will follow after that. If you're simply telling them things and not setting a good example, it simply isn't going to work. The final verse then, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So a Christian home should permeate. Think about putting a sponge down into water. that entire sponge is permeated with that water, should permeate the truth and love of God through, think about inside your home, Bibles, Christian books, displayed scripture, family prayers, and many other things could be added to that list. How can we summarize that? Our homes should point everyone to Christ. From stepping in the front door, maybe even before they step in the front door, they know, oh, this is a home that is serious about Christ. They step in the front door, and now they can see maybe key scriptures that are there on the walls. Maybe the Bible is on the coffee table. Maybe you have a bookshelf with some important Christian titles on that bookshelf. All kinds of things that are saying to anyone who comes to our home, we are different than the world. We are the followers of Jesus Christ. Let me conclude like this. So why is this topic so vital? Because today, most children who grow up going to church, we talked about this years ago here at Bethlehem, most children who grow up going to church walk away from Christ by their 20s. Back when we went over this more carefully at Bethlehem, we had about 20 children in Sunday school. And the statistic back then was that 92% of the children, by the time they reach 25 years old, will no longer be in Christ. And I looked at that group of 20 kids, and I wondered, out of this group of 20, which two are going to still be in Christ by the time they're 25, and the other 18 are going to be gone out of the kingdom of God? That's typical in the world. It is so sad. It is so shocking. Why is that happening? Because, again, going back to the beginning, the parents are entrusting their children to the church. They're not following Deuteronomy chapter 6. So very important. As fathers, even as parents, we want much for our children, but we especially want them to continue in Christ to the end. What should we do? Let us diligently and faithfully apply this key passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let us know it, let us believe it, let us live it, and let us take every opportunity we can to help others understand it and benefit from it too. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray that you would radically change each one of us, including me, especially fathers and parents, so that we truly and fully follow your holy word, and so we function in such a way that you use us to be an eternal blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.